Now, nearly half of Americans breathe in unhealthy levels of air pollution, and Sheboygan ranks among the 25 worst cities in the nation for ozone pollution in recent years.
That's according to the American Lung Association's new State of the Air report, tracking air quality between 2021 and 2023 to measure dangerous pollutants.
The report graded 29 Wisconsin counties that have air quality data. In the ozone pollution category, more than half of the counties graded got Fs for the number of code orange and red alerts.
We'll learn about state-level efforts to improve air quality with the Wisconsin DNR.
But first, Molly Collins is here, Advocacy Director of the American Lung Association for Wisconsin and South Dakota. Molly, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
What stands out to you from the 2025 findings for our state here in Wisconsin?
This year, the American Lung Association's 26th annual State of the Air report really found that a lot of our air quality got worse here in Wisconsin, especially in the greater Milwaukee area, as well as Green Bay and Dane County. So it's a little disappointing, but we think that there's just a lot of progress to still work on and still be made.
And along those lines, Sheboygan as the 24th worst city in the country for air quality compared to the 228 other metro areas. How should we view what's happening in Sheboygan and communities along the western shore of Lake Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, I think we know that the cities around the lake do get some updraft from winds from Chicago and other sort of big metro areas. And that's what's happening to Sheboygan to some extent. They also produce some of their own pollution with their power plant and some industrial operations in that area. So, Sheboygan's 24, the Milwaukee metro area is number 26 with some of the worst ozone pollution and particle pollution that we've seen in a number of years. And some of that is due to wildfire smoke as well.
The wildfire smoke. Yeah, I mean, we've seen the heat and drought, wildfires certainly driving forces of unhealthy air. And the state DNR is reporting seeing double the average of wildfires for this time of year. How are wildfires affecting our air?
Yeah, I mean, I think we know that climate change is making wildfires just more frequent and more intense. And so we should think about how we can protect human health from those impacts, whether it is monitoring air quality on your own with an app on your phone. There are a couple different things that allow us to do that to really then, take protective measures on our own to make sure that, you're not going outside if it looks like a red or a purple day. You're not opening your windows. You're not breathing that air.
But you really have to take that on yourself to make those adjustments.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are certainly policy actions that our elected officials can take to protect human health. But I think it's both of those things, right? It's a both end. It's making sure that we're protecting ourselves and that we're requiring our elected officials to, do other things to protect our health, like making sure that we're keeping our EPA air quality standards strong and making sure that we're evaluating things like prescribed burns to lessen wildfire impacts if they happen.
I think it's important to note that the data from this State of the Air report predates the current White House, which is reconsidering EPA regulations that promote cleaner air. With that in mind, what might the future hold for curbing pollution, air pollution here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I think we really want to, make sure our elected officials are listening to us and keeping air quality standards strong. We've seen really great benefits from the EPA and the Clean Air Act. The Lung Association started measuring these things in 2000. Since then, we've seen really pronounced improvement in both ozone and particle pollution, thanks in large part to policy under the Clean Air Act to clean up power plants, clean up gasoline and diesel fuels, and replace some older, dirty diesel engines. So those things have been saving people's lives, and we need to make sure that progress continues.
So those are some bright spots that you see. But when you look at these F grades for, you know, about 24 or more counties in Wisconsin, does that match what you've seen in past years?
Yeah, I'll also mention that, you know, we have very strong air quality measurement standards. So we use the government's own measuring tools. So we see these F grades in about 24 Wisconsin counties, but we're also only measuring about 24 Wisconsin counties. Not all places are being measured in the state because we just haven't prioritized putting monitors on the ground in all of those places as a government, but that is something that we can work on, certainly. We just need to make sure that folks understand that dirty air is a dangerous public health issue. If you have asthma, if you're prone to a heart attack or a stroke, those are all things that can be caused by this type of pollution.
Molly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Molly Collins of the American Lung Association. She's Advocacy Director for Wisconsin and South Dakota. We're talking about the association's latest national air quality report and how Wisconsin measures up. Now we're joined by the Director of the Air Management Program at the Wisconsin DNR, Gail Good. Gail, welcome.
Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
The DNR releases air quality trends annually as well. Are the trends that you're seeing in Wisconsin similar to what is being reflected in the American Lung Association's report?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, the American Lung Association State of the Air Report, which examines particle pollution and ozone pollution across the country, actually relies on monitoring networks and official monitoring data. So our Wisconsin Air Monitoring Network data is represented in this report. It's examined a little bit differently by the American Lung Association for this report rather than the way EPA uses our air monitoring data to compare to their health-based standards. That said, the American Lung Association report presents a really thought-provoking look at the quality of our air year after year. Wisconsin is currently meeting the most recent particle pollution standards across the state. And this report, the American Lung Association report, includes also the 2023 data, which, if you recall, 2023, that spring and summer was really heavily impacted by intense Canadian wildfire smoke, which our monitors did record. The smoke event days in 2023 led to really high concentrations of particle pollution, some of which lingered for days. That said, there was an area in the American Lung Association State of the Air report in Wisconsin that did show up on the list of cleanest cities, and that's the Duluth area, which we're obviously very connected to.
I want to jump in on the drought and wildfire situation, because Wisconsin has had nearly 600 fires so far this year, and that's according to your DNR wildfire dashboard. So is this a concern in terms of the air quality?
Any increase in the frequency or longevity or intensity of wildfire activity that we're seeing in the U.S. or in Canada will increase the probability of air quality being negatively impacted. You know, what we've been really seeing lately is, you know, where we've seen wildfires and wildfire smoke, this has typically affected us kind of in the later summer. And in recent years, the wildfire season has been starting earlier, and that has been impacting air quality here. For example, the first spring advisories for wildfire smoke were issued in May for both 2023 and 2024. And before that, it had been more than a decade since Wisconsin had experienced an air quality advisory due to wildfire smoke in the spring.
Now, the national report from the American Lung Association only measures about 29 Wisconsin counties that contribute air quality data, and this leaves out so much of northern counties. What is known about air quality trends in these other places?
Regulatory monitoring, like our network, is of very high quality, but it's also very costly to operate. So it's just not possible to have monitors everywhere. So we have a lot of requirements that we must follow about where monitors are sited and why. We do generally see that where we do have monitors in the north, those tend to be some of our cleanest monitors that we're seeing for a variety of pollutants. In fact, I already mentioned, you know, one, the kind of Duluth Superior area being showing up as one of the 15th cleanest cities in the American Lung Association State of the Air Report. I wanted to mention here that annually we must go through an exercise to detail our monitoring network and make plans for the upcoming calendar year available to people to provide feedback on. We're actually just about to put our annual network plan out for public comment. We invite people to look it over, provide comment on it, ensure that, you know, we're meeting all of our requirements for the monitoring network. We do respond to all comments and share them with EPA for their consideration of our network.
In some communities, like Beloit has had a Purple Air monitors on loan. Superior has had these monitor air quality monitors in multiple fire departments. Why do cities like Beloit and Superior do their own Purple Air monitoring?
Yeah, outdoor air quality monitoring using some of these lower cost sensors has really gained popularity over the last several years. I think that's as people become more aware of air quality impacts on their health. Low-cost Purple Air sensors, like you mentioned, can be a really good option to fill in the spatial gaps between regulatory monitoring. So while these sensors are not regulatory quality and can't be used as such, they can give us information about how air quality in a local area may be changing.
As you bring in public comments about air quality and go through them, I mean, this comes at a time when the White House is reconsidering EPA regulations that would promote cleaner air. What might happen to Wisconsin's efforts to curb air pollution?
We absolutely track rulemakings that go on that are very impactful to our air quality. And we're engaged on multiple levels, especially on ozone, because that is a pollutant that we've had difficulty meeting standards on in the past.
Gail, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
That is Gail Good, Director of the Air Management Program at the Wisconsin DNR. And earlier we heard from Molly Collins of the American Lung Association in Wisconsin. We talked about the State of the Air report findings from the American Lung Association.